today on Real Radio.
The very unique thing about you being an American tonight is that all of us have different blood types flowing through our bodies with different DNA, but we have chosen to be an American. None of us were born specifically as an American. You may have been born in the United States, but to be an American is a choice that you must make.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in an Independence Day message called A Time to Remember, asks us, what does it mean to be an American? An American is someone who chooses to adopt what makes America great, and that is her founding principles that are based in Christianity. Now more than ever before, God's people must take a stand in what we believe. America's pillars are being shaken, and her liberty can be lost, not in a generation, but in a moment's time. America's youth are growing up without knowing the deep roots of her history. Our founding fathers declared America to be a Christian nation, not by force, but by choice. Today, Pastor Jack tells us, as it was in early America and is today, God's church continues to grow. It's not over for America. God always leaves room for revival. And as long as believers are praying, caring, and standing up for what's right, change can happen. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I'm going to ask all of you to just pay attention and to listen to some of these great things that make the fact that you and I tonight have chosen, really listen, chosen to be Americans this evening. All of us come from various backgrounds, and within our veins flows a DNA. For some of you, you may be from various portions of Africa or Europe or Asia or South America or somewhere in the South Pacific Islands, wherever you may be, maybe Eurasia, it doesn't matter. Think of this. You and I have a specific ethnic DNA that flows through our veins, and that can be traced. That can be tracked down. Your very science and pathology of your genealogy is within your blood. And all of the nations of the world have those things in common. If you're a German, you're a German. If you are somehow, Chilean, you're from South America. And on it goes. The very unique thing about you being an American tonight is that all of us have different blood types flowing through our bodies with different DNA, but we have chosen to be an American. None of us were born specifically as an American. You may have been born in the United States, but to be an American is a choice that you must make. You can be born here and have nothing to do with what it means to be an American. To be an American is to choose and to decide to adopt what made this nation great regarding its founding principles. And tonight I want to call to your remembrance some very important things tonight as we celebrate, as I said earlier, the 238th birthday of the United States. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." And the Bible warns us that when times get rough, we need to go back to the founding portions of stability. And America today, like never before in our history, the United States, and you're feeling it, is in a place of wandering. Those ancient landmarks, those pillars are being shaken. Some of you might be wondering, how can America, so strong, so great, so influential in the world, become so fragile so fast? The reason why, my friend, it can become fragile so fast is because America, as I said, is all dependent upon you and I deciding to be Americans. Somebody has once said that the loss of our freedoms is just one generation away. But that doesn't mean in 40 years or 50 years or some 70 years and then your liberty is lost. Liberty can be lost in a moment, in a turning of a tide. And America today is in question. Americans are insecure like never before in our nation's history. And some of it for good reason. But I want to encourage you tonight. And I want to say this, let's not be guilty on our watch. Let's not be guilty of allowing the ancient markers to be moved. We need to tonight decide that what you and I stand for and who we are as Christians and as Americans, that we take a stand for what we believe in. Friends, listen, church, visitors, listen. America will not have freedoms in the future unless we stand for them today. We need to stand for them now. And that's something that doesn't happen automatically. That's something that doesn't happen just by us voting or just by us being here. It must be defended. So listen, when I look at this verse in Proverbs 22, verse 28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Listen to this. The ancient landmarks is also the word translated heritage. Don't remove the heritage which your fathers have set. Karl Marx, the famed communist, said, take away the heritage or the landmarks of a people and they are easily persuaded. The very foundation of communism announces, if you can remove the foundations of the ancient pillars of a culture, you can easily persuade people. Today, America is growing up without its roots in history. We've got deep roots in history, but we're not studying history. Most people today are entering college and they don't even know about the America that they're enjoying all the benefits from. And when we do not know those things, we wind up becoming victims of the world around us. And Karl Marx's words would be proven right. Take away the heritage or the landmarks of a people and they are easily persuaded or easily guided. One thing I want to point out tonight is regarding our nation's birth certificate. America, unlike any other nation in the history of the world, has an unusual birth certificate. Part of that birth certificate that we celebrate this weekend, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen, my friends, when those words were penned, and when our founders got together to ratify these words, just part of the Declaration of Independence, those words by Thomas Jefferson, very few of them were uniquely his words. I don't know if you realize that or not. Thomas Jefferson admits in his own writings that he lifted much of the Declaration of Independence, listen, from John Locke in his treaty on government, a little bit from the Greeks, a little bit from the Romans, and Jefferson said, but a whole lot from the pulpits of early America. Did you know that? When's the last time you were taught that in public school? That Thomas Jefferson announces that from John Locke, which was a profound Christian political philosopher in his day, and from the pulpits of colonial America, the Declaration of Independence came forth. We have a very unusual birth certificate in America. The awesome thing is, as I said, it wasn't Jefferson or Franklin or Adams' thoughts alone. They referenced that it came from those who were aboard the Mayflower when they wrote in the Mayflower Compact. Listen to this. In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of dreaded sovereign Lord King James of England, by the grace of God, listen, in the name of God, and now they say, by the grace of God, the God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, defender of the faith, the King, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of the King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. That was written on November 11th, 1620, just off the shore on the Mayflower. The very first founding document for this nation acknowledges. Now listen, you hear a lot about this in the news today, that America was not founded as a Christian nation. It's blabbed about in schools, or it's said in campuses or on the news, and yet it's not true. The very ones that said, we have come here on the Mayflower to declare this nation to be a Christian nation. Why do we not know these things? That doesn't mean as Christians we go around and make other people Christians. You know, I understand that non-Christians get nervous about that. I would be too if I was a non-Christian. I don't want somebody telling me what I have to believe. And that is the amazing, unique culture that is the Judeo-Christian America that was founded. Did you know this? Did you know that not everybody on the Mayflower were believers? There were some 52 of them that were believers. The remaining 50 of them were not believers. And when they went on to the soil of the East Coast of what would be America, there was no mandate that everybody was to be Christians. But the Christians stepped up and said, listen, we need a rule of law. And it made world history. Christianity never forces people to become Christians. That is not Christianity. There are times in church history where leaders wrongly did that, and that was wrong, and nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. So if you're a non-Christian here today, you can relax. We're not going to want to make you a Christian. That's your choice. Just as it is, listen, just as it is your choice tonight to be an American, it can be your choice to believe in God. God deals in choices. God wants you to make choices. And our founding fathers made choices. Think about that. The very truth of our system, the birth certificate of America, is recorded in world history. Even though we were a Christian nation, we didn't force Christianity upon anybody in this country, but the Judeo-Christian roots of the Bible became the very foundation of government and of law for this nation. And that's a documented fact. The second thing I want you to think about tonight is this, our public schools. Think about this, how far we've come in our public schools. Did you know that our public school system, as far back, listen to this, as far back as 1680, when they didn't have a public school system, when they did gather together for study, listen to this, did you realize that what is called the New England Primer was used as the number one textbook for the school children in early America? Now listen, everybody, this sounds radical, but it's ancient. In early America, the mode of education until you went to college was homeschooling. There was no public school system. There was a homeschooling standard within homes. And within those homes, they shared one thing in common, one thing. They had the New England Primer present in homes, and children learned, listen to this, children learned how to read and how to understand and write from that early teaching. And I encourage you later to go online and you can read the whole alphabet. But this is how the American school children learned in their homeschooling education. And I'm going to go somewhere with this. I want you to stay tuned with me here for a moment. The letter A. This is how they learned it. A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. B. Thy life to mend, God's book attend. It goes on and on and on. Think of this. The letter P. Peter denies his Lord and cries. The letter S. Samuel anoints whom king appoints. All the way through the alphabet of the English language, children were learning Bible by learning the alphabet in the homes of early America. Think of that. And you might say, well, that was primitive early America. I thought you would ask that, so I wrote this down. Did you know that by 1780, most Americans could read and write more than those who were in Europe? In Europe, only the high class were allowed to be educated to read and write. Did you know it was illegal in Europe and in the United States to teach your slave how to read and write because Europe was afraid that a slave would read and become educated and want their freedom? But listen, even American slave owners in the United States who were against slavery kept their slaves waiting to let them go. They couldn't wait. It's hard to turn a big ship, you know. Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and George Washington refused to have slaves. But when that whole movement was taking place in a continent and a people were changing, and as the founders began to embrace more and more of the scriptures, we began to push away more and more of the slave market and trade. And it greatly disrupted things with Europe. And the movement was begun. And Thomas Jefferson, by order of the King of England, was under penalty of death because Jefferson believed in teaching and educating his slaves with hope someday they would be set free. Think about that for a moment. What kind of a culture would keep people enslaved? Only some tyrannical government, only some tyrannical movement would try to keep women or slaves uneducated, without power. And God was at work in America. Regarding our nation's capital, for some of you who attend this church, you've heard this before. Number one, our nation's capital that we today look at in Washington, D.C., it is the pinnacle icon. It's the most recognized building in the world, the U.S. Capitol. Did you know, and I'll point out just a few things, that while it was still under construction, on Thursday, December 4th, 1800, Congress voted on that day to commence church services to be held in the U.S. Capitol. From that following Sunday, December 7th, Thomas Jefferson appointed the United States Marine Corps Band to lead the worship service on that Sunday morning and Sunday mornings following. Secondly, Sunday morning attendance reached 2,000 people in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building. Thomas Jefferson, now president, utilized the U.S. War Department as an overflow location, but the church continued to grow every Sunday until the U.S. Treasury Department was also used as an overflow facility. Did you know that? And thirdly, the U.S. Supreme Court was added to handle the crowds coming to church in Washington, D.C. It was the largest church in America. What's interesting, if you put that together, Thomas Jefferson was the father of multi-church locations. Church members gathering in Washington, D.C. Another thing is this regarding our nation's achievements. Did you know that the United States has created and developed more technologies than any other nation in the history of the world? Think about that for a moment. We've become so lackadaisical and so complacent with all of our devices and all of our things that we enjoy. But think about going all the way back. Think of the inventions from the telephone, the computer. The issues regarding technology are staggering. But it's not just that. If you've ever tried on a pair of fins and swam in your pool or the ocean, Benjamin Franklin invented those fins. If you have bifocal glasses, Ben Franklin again. If your house got struck by lightning and it didn't burn down, it's because every home almost now in the world, in the industrialized world, has a Franklin lightning rod built into your home, invented by Benjamin Franklin. On and on it goes. Underground sewage, Benjamin Franklin. On and on it goes. Think about it. Technologies. God blessed America, and we're still making an impact in the world today. It's not over for America. Have we fallen upon hard times? Does our nation suffer this hour from almost no rudder? Does it seem like we're absolutely mindless and we're spinning out of control? Listen, I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because listen, as long as people are praying and people are caring, change can happen. Real change can happen. Things can turn around. We must not lose hope and forget what God has started. I understand the Bible speaks about last days events. Look, you know that in this church. You know Bible prophecy. But the amazing caveat of God is that he always leaves room for revival. Nineveh was brought back to life. People in Nineveh turned to God. Think of it. Are things bad? Yes. Could things get worse? They could. But will you allow them to get worse? Listen, don't do it. There's enough to fight for. Listen, how many of you have young kids in your life, children or grandkids? Raise your hands. Listen, just that alone should cause us to fight for what's right, to stand up and defend. Our nation is a nation of achievement. Now, there's a big debate going on. In fact, I was watching it tonight as today, I don't know if you know this or not, but today a movie was launched today called America. And nobody paid any attention to it. Nobody criticized it. Nobody said anything about it until the crowds began showing up today in theaters across America. And by tonight, there were people all of all kinds of different liberal persuasions saying all these negative things about America and all this stuff and how mean we are and all this stuff. And they didn't give it any attention. But now the movie's out and people in droves are going to this movie about America. And the subtitle is, Where would the world be without America? And today, you and I have been kind of conditioned to apologize for America. Listen, don't fall for that stuff. There's no perfect government, but you're sitting tonight in a constitutional form of government that is the longest living constitution in the history of mankind. No other nation in the history of the world has wrought freedoms for its people more than what you have tonight. Don't let it die. Get involved, get engaged. Find out what's going on in your culture and stand up for what is right. And let's stand up for what is long-lasting, what is beyond the tip of our nose. It's absolutely essential. Did you know that the United States, in its efforts, have liberated more people in other countries than any other nation on earth? That is a fact. You think about that for a moment. By the way, the United States is still, this is amazing. I went online to the U.S., CIA website has information on this, and I went to the European Union as well, and I went to the United Nations website as well to confirm this, because it's hard to believe. But did you know still tonight, that there are more people trying to break into America than those that are trying to get out of it? Did you know that? People are still trying to come here. Did you know that there are more people immigrating to the United States legally, I'm saying, just legally, on record, there are more people immigrating to the United States every year than all other nations combined in the world. It's still the great last hope in the world today. People still want to come here for protection, for freedom. They believe in other countries that they can come here and have a free life in our culture, in my community, in this community. Maybe we should stop and ask people when we see them wearing their turbans, for example, or wearing burqas or saris or whatever they're wearing from their culture. We should stop and ask them, excuse me, it's obvious that you may not be from the United States. What caused you to come here? Ask them. You might be surprised to find out that immigrants have such a high and lofty view of America. Many of us who were born here, we just think it's just going to continue on. It cannot continue on unless we defend it and stand for it. The United States still to this hour, with all of our financial hardship, the United States is still the most generous humanitarian and natural disaster relief nation in the history of America, or history in the world, that is. No other nation exceeds us in that. The United States has more patents and inventions to its name than any other nation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Call to Remember. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, there is great hope for America today when we pray with Bibles open for God to forgive us and bring healing to our nation. Today was day one of this lesson. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Let me give you a tab that's going to really help you if you're interested in leading other people to the Lord. It's a tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we've all been there at some point. You're really strong in your faith. You know what you know. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. But sometimes you may be a struggle to share it with other folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to the Know God tab. That's K-N-O-W, God, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack's got a great video there that's going to help you approach non-believers in your life. You can learn from this video yourself or send it to an unbelieving friend. It's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.